loving and wonderful God, send your Holy Spirit to be amongst us that we might dance here in this space today. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. So you've already noticed something a little bit different today, and it is the result of a pinky promise. I pinky promised a member of our junior choir about a month ago that I would preach a sermon the next time I was scheduled that everybody in the room could understand. And the way this came about was someone was preaching, and there was a certain member of our junior choir who would not stop talking. So finally, I leaned over and I said, "What is going on?" And he said, "I have no idea what they're talking about. I just want to understand." And I said, "I'll explain it afterwards." And he said, "It doesn't have anything to do with the lessons." And I said, "Okay, I pinky promise, next time I preach, everyone will understand." And so some of you normal front pew dwellers noticed when you came in, we've roped them off, and that's because I need everyone under the age of 18 who is sitting up here to come and sit in the front rows right now. Not getting the back of the heads for this one, folks. Okay. Excuse me. You're going to need to snuggle a little bit. Come on. You got this. Excellent. Welcome to this side of viewing things. How does it look? It's okay. So I convinced myself that I was supposed to preach on Philippians. And I spent all week poring over Philippians. And then I realized that Miss Holy Spirit did not say Philippians, that I needed to actually listen to her. So we're going to talk about the gospel lesson for today. And I thought that we could start off with doing that by going through it and just talking a little bit about what does it mean? What does this gospel lesson that we had today mean? And the first thing that I want us all to understand about this gospel lesson is it occurs in not just John's gospel. It occurs in some of the other gospels as well. But something special about the way that John has recorded this event is he tells us who the woman is who is anointing Jesus' feet. And that's important. That's important because Lazarus, the house that he's gone to is Lazarus' house. And Lazarus is Jesus' friend who Jesus raised from the dead. And so Martha and Mary are so incredibly grateful to have their brother back with them that they are overjoyed that that Jesus has come to visit the house. Something else that's really important for us to understand is that Mary and Martha, we've heard a story about them before this event. We've heard a story about Martha and Mary when Jesus came with his disciples and was in their house, and Martha is scurrying around in the kitchen, getting everything ready, and Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet while he teaches the disciples. And Martha gets cross with her and says, "Mary, I need help. What are you doing in there? We have a guest. You need to get to work." And Jesus tells her to chill out. Jesus says, "You know, Mary's doing the right thing here. Mary wants to learn, and that is good and right. And that doesn't mean that doing preparations is wrong, but it means that you each have a different way that you need to be present with me here today." And so that's important to remember, because in this passage, we see Martha's in the kitchen again, getting everything ready. There's chief priests, there's Jesus, there's Judas. There's a lot going on. And once again, Mary has come out and is with Jesus. The next thing that's really important for us to look at is that Mary is giving Jesus a gift. I want you to think back in your lives to the greatest gift you've ever received. And now I want you to think about Martha and Mary. The greatest gift they've ever received is the life of their brother back from the dead. If you had a doctor who brought the most important person in the world to you back to life after a horrible accident, what would the right gift be to give to them? Do you think you'd go down to Edible Arrangements and get a fruit basket and say, "Here, doctor, thank you so much, that was great"? Doesn't really sum it up, does it? Mary wanted to give the ultimate gift, and we're going to get into that point a little bit later. But the last thing that I want us to really look at is the last line here, which I'm so grateful that one of the members of the 8 o'clock congregation came up to me afterwards and said, "You never addressed this." And I said, "Thank you for reminding me, because I was supposed to." This last line of the gospel says, "You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." That sounds like a pretty narcissistic, egocentric, all about me thing for Jesus to say. Judas has pointed out that Mary could sell this perfume for all of this money and help so many people. And Jesus, the one who tells us we're supposed to help all these people, says, "Oh no, she doesn't need to sell it. She's doing the right thing." Well, I think what he means here, and this is where we have to remember that Jesus is God, is that Jesus is once again reminding his disciples, who are kind of dumb as a stump if you look at the Gospels sometimes, he's not going to be there forever. Jesus has been telling the disciples over and over and over again that he is going to go away, and they don't seem to get it. Mary gets it. Mary takes this perfume that, yes, it may have been bought for Jesus' upcoming burial. It may also have been bought after Lazarus died so she could prepare her brother's body. Regardless of what she bought it for, she spent all that she had for it. And the greatest gift that she could give to her Lord at that moment was to kneel at his feet and anoint them and wipe them with her hair. Jesus wants us to remember that we must feed ourselves if we're going to go out and feed other people. Jesus, I believe, is telling us here that yes, the problems of the world are going to be outside that door always. And if we're to have the strength and the resolve to do something about it, then sometimes we need to be a little bit extravagant. Sometimes we need to feed ourselves in such a way that we have something here to pour out there. And that brings me back to my gift. So, as I pored over this whole idea of gift, I tried to imagine what the most beautiful, perfect gift in the world would look like to me. I thought about it for a really long time. You know, if somebody's going to give me a present and I'm going to think, wow, that's it. And so what I came up with, as no surprise to anyone, was this. It's sparkly. It's purple, which is liturgically appropriate, I'd like to point out. It has hearts on it. So I would know that if somebody gave me this package, they really knew me really well. They loved me a whole lot and spent a lot of time thinking about what would get me excited. Now, I love to get presents, but I love to give presents even more than I love to get them. I love the opportunity that you have to go out and really think about that person that you love and find the perfect thing. And sometimes it's not even a thing. Sometimes you know that person's been having such a hard time and they love to make pottery. So you book an appointment and you go to a paint-your-own pottery place and you make mugs together and just spend the day. Sometimes it's just calling them at the right moment, and that's their gift that looks like this to them. And we all have a gift that looks like this that we are waiting to receive. But what I don't know if we all realize all the time is that we receive a gift that looks like this every single day. I like this package because it's just heavy enough that I'm curious about what's in it. Shake this for me. Does that give you any clues? It's a box, that's right. What about you, Noah? Let's see if you can figure it out. Is it kind of heavy? Does it make any noise? Sort of. Can you describe the noise? No. Man, I'm curious what is in this box. And it's that kind of box that I kind of want to carry around with me all the time, and because it has glitter on it, even if I put it down, I am carrying it around all the time. What now? I love this package. But I can't carry it with me all the time because I need my hands. And so I come to church on Sunday morning. And I wonder, where can I find the perfect gift that I can keep with me all the time? And I realize that we are all issued an invitation every single week, right here, to receive that perfect gift. It's up to us whether we take it. We don't have to. And that's the wonder. Sometimes somebody means really well and gives you that present that they think is perfect for you, and you open it and go, ooh, maybe today's not your day. But the thought mattered, that the invitation was issued matter, and maybe next time you'll be ready for it. But what I really love about the gift that we are given here is that when we come up to this rail and we kneel down, we can take whatever is obstructing us from picking up this package. It's a little bit heavy. My arms might get tired. And we can leave it right here. We can put it down. And still, because it's sparkly, when we walk away from here, we carry it with us. So we receive this ultimate gift of Christ's sacrifice on the cross for us. For every single one of us, saying you are forgiven and you are loved and you are enough. And we take it from there and we bring it right out there. Remember all those poor people that we were worried about that are out those doors? Remember all of those problems that were there when we came in? They're still there, but the difference is I have enough inside of me to walk out and do something about it. And maybe doing something about it is something big. Maybe you start a petition to get equal rights for a group. Maybe you go back to school and you talk about something that you learned. Or maybe, just maybe, you walk up to someone and you hold out your hand and you say, I love you just the way you are. Maybe that's the gift that you have to give. Whatever gift you have to give, and whatever gift you are desperate to receive, right here, right now, is our opportunity to lay all of it down and to say, God, here I am, sitting at your feet. Here are the deepest desires of my heart. Do with them what you see fit. Amen.